Hello, friends, and welcome to the most glorious of events, the Movie Mavericks Podcast. This outstanding program is hosted by two fine gentlemen, Jason and Trevor. Now make it so.
MovieMavericks.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 335, the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. I'm going to send you over to Jason Rugard, who I used to be able to reach out and touch on last episode. Now, so sadly, too far away.
I know. How the fuck are you? I haven't seen you for a while. Huh? You doing all right? How's your family?
Yeah, good. Everyone's great. How are you?
How's your mom doing? Huh? She's good? Good. Let's talk movies here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about on today's show. We're not doing a traditional podcast. We're kind of doing a messy one where Trevor and I just shoot the shit in terms of what's going on in the movie world. And a couple of reviews. We're going to talk about Jumanji, which Trevor caught up with. I saw Black Panther. He saw Tremors 6. And a lot of stuff really going on with the theaters and the movies and MoviePass and all sorts of stuff going on. So I want to talk to you about things, but I don't really know where to start. You got anything you want to start with there? Anything that's really chapping your ass off the bat?
Well, we could talk about the Avengers Infinity War. I can't even say it. I don't know how people are ordering so many tickets for it.
First of all, have you seen it?
No.
I haven't seen it either.
It's so busy.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I used to see movies on opening weekend. It was like a thing. I used to go opening weekend.
Reserve seating ruins it.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially when you have a movie pass now, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, like, because I can't order in advance. I got to wait till I get down there. And then I got to be within 30 minutes. You know, I don't want to show up so early either.
Let's talk about that, though, because I have the movie pass and this new reserve seating thing. I got to do this weird thing where I'm checking my movie pass. Then I got to go on my Fandango app and act like I'm buying tickets through them so I can see what seats are available. Right. So if I know if it's even worth my time to go down there. It's a really strange thing that's going on. And because there's these like luxury seating and these ultra recliners, they've taken out a lot of seats to make room for that. So theaters that used to hold 300 to 500 people now might seat 150 to 200 people tops in these major auditoriums. 300 on the high side. So I think that you know, you're getting a lot of sold out show, which creates a demand and looks good on that marquee when it says sold out all the way down the line. But very rarely is that the case, other than this weekend, with the final numbers coming in at 257 million. For the Avengers. Is anything ever – I mean, that's over a quarter of $1 billion in 3 days.
Right. Yeah, we're talking $630 million worldwide right now. So it's kind of ridiculous. And I know I had made a comment to you that the top 10 is going to be all over $200 million here real quick, which kind of just – it's so normal at this point. I don't – it's just weird to see these numbers and just not be all that really amazed at it.
Well, the groundbreaking ones are the first weekend of Spider-Man. I remember we were just about to go into film school, and that was like the weekend before. And it had come out with a $114 million weekend. And that first time anything had breached the $100 million, not even a little bit, but like just flew past it. And that was so outlandish. You know, like I couldn't believe something made $100 million in 3 days. And then when the Avengers in 2012 made $207 million, and broke that 200 million barrier, was like, holy shit. Like, when is the slowdown? Like, when is the $300 million opener? What could possibly – but what is it? Is it going to be Black Panther 2? Is it Avatar 2? Is it the next Avenger? Like, what is the high watermark?
Yeah, it'll have to be something different, won't it? Because, I don't know, this was a hard needle to push past 250. So you're talking another $50 million after that? Wow. What I guess Avatar here, movies, right? Those would be the next best bet.
Or Black Panther 2.
Yeah, I don't know so much about that.
I don't know. I think that look at the multiplier on that. I mean, if you that's at what, 690 million, almost 700 million? If
it's Avengers just another Marvel movie, though. I mean, here's Avengers doing this. So I don't know. I doubt the Marvel movies will be able to push much further beyond this.
I can't shortchange him. I keep doing it.
I just can.
blowing up in my face here. But this opening here, the one thing I'll say, like sticking up for The Force Awakens, is that it did it in that Christmas corridor weekend when there was a lot of people, even though it was a much anticipated film, Star Wars opened up in late December when a lot of people are distracted doing activities and things with family. Although you can also say because of that, it got a lot of business on traditionally slow days because people are off and things like that. But does the what's the legs on this thing? Does it make a billion here in the States?
I would really doubt that.
It's only a four-time multiplier.
Yeah, but you think this thing's got a four-time multiplier in it? I mean, three times is probably more likely.
That's $700 million.
Right. I mean, we've seen similar stuff to that before. A billion would be pretty amazing because that would have to be that would be a fantastic next weekend. That'd be a really great weekend after that. And you know this is going to drop like a fucking rock.
Of course it will, especially with the competition that's coming out this month. Much like last summer when May was the front-loaded month, and then we heard about the sluggish June and July and August and how the slowdown of the box office, we're going to start hearing that same narrative because May is front-loaded with all these massive hits. Mm-hmm. In 2 weeks from now, we have Deadpool, which is tracking for like $150 right. million opening, which will probably open higher than that. Then 2 weeks after that, you have Han Solo coming out. And it's just going to be a month of just honestly, it's cannibalizing one another. I don't know why one of these films isn't a July 4th movie. We have a very weak slate for the rest of the summer because everything is now in your face. I don't see this summer being that strong.
Well, it's practically over.
Well, it will be in a month's time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And technically, that's really just – I mean, it's still April.
We haven't even entered the summer months
tradition. It's still April, man.
That was like the thing. I remember when The Mummy came out in 99, I believe it was, and they were pushing it up like the beginning of the summer season. They were pushing it up a little bit, and they were getting it to like the end of May. A few weeks before the end of May, it was Memorial Day weekend was traditionally the kickoff for summer for movie going. It was always the big Memorial Day release. That was kind of your big thing until your July 4th release. And then, you know, all throughout June and July, there was possible hits, but those were your flagpole, your tent poles. But now it's like every weekend's a possible, you know, movie that could just break out of the box and make over $100 million opening weekend and start a franchise. It kind of lessens the excitement of the summer going season for me. I used to love Just 20 years ago, or even, you know, you look at like 98, 97, every week there's a heavy hitter coming out. But what do we have next week coming out? Tully? Bad Samaritan? It's a weak lineup. It really is. And that would be May 2nd. That would be the weekend this would open up on.
Oh, I'm just amazed that these movies can still do this. And I suppose this is all due to the fact that they're turning these things out like mad, right? Because this opening has to, in a lot of ways, be helped by Black Panther.
Yeah, it's got to be helped by
all the Marvel movies in between these two Avengers, right? Thor, had to have helped this. Stuff. Yeah, Thor Ragnarok, you know, Doctor Strange, all that stuff had to have helped this.
I would agree with you. There's like crazy. A halo effect, just like Iron Man 3 was a high grossing film because of the Avengers halo effect. You know, everyone loved the Avengers, they went to Iron Man 3 right after. But moving on to Star Wars, have you softened in your stance towards Solo? I was very anti-Solo initially, and I'm becoming extremely intrigued with this.
I get harder and harder the more I see it.
Right? I thought you were just a flaccid type of guy.
I don't. Yeah, I've not softened at all. No, I am still liking this more and more. I think it looks great. You don't like it?
I'm actually thinking that it might be the good Star Wars movie because it's directed by a real director.
Just be careful.
I know.
Just
I keep
be
doing
careful.
This.
I think that too, but I don't want to, you know, I feel like you put those vibes out there and you're going to get it, you know.
I just keep thinking that this looks better as it goes along. I don't know. I mean, obviously there's a change of hands. Who knows how much was done, but Ron Howard is getting full directing credit here. The previous directors, Chris and Philip Lord, have stepped away and said that, you know, their contributions as executive producers, and they're fine with that. So I just think that Ron Howard may have been the choice all along. Why wasn't he asked initially to do this?
Yeah, why aren't they going back to big directors who actually direct and you know, set scenes and have a relationship, and make movies and do all these things that it seems like we're missing out on with this younger bunch coming up. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't think, because maybe in a lot of sense it doesn't matter, you know, and what they're looking for. With a lot of these, and I look at Marvel stuff, right? They're not looking for strong directors like that. They're looking for installments, for more of a television type approach to this.
Which started with the, you know, people that came from television, the J.J. Abrams, the Joss Whedons, all these people that have made that transition up into the film world, and things, for better or worse, have become more like television.
Well, they're not they're very strong storytellers, not strong directors, I don't think. Like Joss Whedon, as far as directing goes, it isn't really very cinematic. Neither is J.J. Abrams, really. And J.J. Abrams has a hell of a lot of missteps with his stuff. But you would never compare them to like Spielberg or Ron Howard, you know, as far as if you wanted to go see a film, you know, or an actual cinematic experience.
They're just not in the same league visually. They don't think like that.
Exactly. But they tell great stories, you know, and visually it's fine. It's not that it's, you know, bad in any way. It's just not the same. It really isn't.
No, it's not. I would agree with you on that. Yeah, there was a CineCon just in Las Vegas recently where all the stars came out and all the studios trotted out their stuff. And from what I'm hearing is that the biggest reaction was caused by Halloween. The Danny McBride, David Gordon Green relaunch.
No, stop telling me about this damn movie. And I'm tired of reading every once in a while. I keep reading. Oh, the new Halloween's so great. It's like, really? Another Halloween movie? What would possibly be, even if it was the perfect Halloween movie, what would be so great about it? What could possibly be that great about a Halloween movie?
They're Are you so not looking basic. Forward to it? Are you, you're not looking forward to this?
Not really. I'm kind of done with the whole Halloween thing.
Well, it's not like it's been around. It's been gone for 20 years. It's coming back.
It hasn't been gone for 20 years.
No, you're right.
It's been around. They've tried to do this, right, with all those that stuff, right? The Nightmare on Elm Street stuff. All of it they've been going back to the well on. And it just it doesn't have the same magic because it's from a different time. And I don't think you can make those movies anymore. They don't really work.
No, but they got Jamie Lee Curtis back.
Yeah, I don't believe that it works. I'm not going to believe it, you know. It's going to be super slick. It's going to be super something about it. And if it is that, then it will not be the original Halloween. So it can't be what it's supposed to be. It just can't be.
Trevor refuses to believe. I, on the other hand, am tired. I will say this in agreement with you in some sort, is that the Jamie Lee Curtis casting news, I said that facetiously because it's always being thrown out there. She's back. She's made returns. That was how they sold us H2O,
all of them?
The dumbest fucking acronym of all time for a movie 20 years ago with Halloween. What was it called? Halloween 20 years later? It was literally called H2O.
Yeah.
The one with Josh Hartnett where he had a perpetual bedhead in LL Cool J. I mean, that was a bad entry. And that was done by Kevin Williamson, the first one of these J.J. Abrams, Joss Whedon guys to make the transition.
He was going to bring back horror.
Right. Exactly. He was going to be the savior of the franchise. That didn't go over so well there, although it was serviceable. The one after that, Resurrection with Busta Rhymes, which is probably the series arguably low point, which is hard to argue in that series, is a movie, another movie that starts off with Jamie Lee Curtis reprising her role there. So I don't like that she comes back as Laurie Strode and everybody throws their hands up. And this is what really chaps my ass too. She said, I can't think of another character that somebody's come back and played over 40 years. Really? His name's Rocky Balboa. Sebastian Stallone got nominated for an Oscar.
How about Rambo?
You ungrateful asshole. That's a shit statement. I took exception to that.
Yeah, I don't know. Rob Zombie just did the relaunch of this, you know, a decade ago.
I liked what's those. Going did you on? Not like those? You
yeah,
didn't like that?
All right.
Oh, come on. The first one was good. The second one was shit. The first one was good.
Good is whatever. I mean, it's just they were movies. They existed. All of Rob Zombie movies suck, basically.
Those were his. Done Halloween with him. 1 was when he pulled it together for one movie.
Oh,
I'll say that. I think it's a good movie. It's not a good movie, but it has an effect. And so I wouldn't recommend it for repeat viewing, but it has an effect. And he was doing something. it got under my skin. It's got under my skin, and I was
All
into
right,
it.
Fair enough.
And the second one, I went and saw the theater because I liked the first one so much, and I was so disappointed because it was just random shit being thrown at you.
Yeah. Well, this is my point. You just can't, I don't know, you just can't remake these movies. I don't think it works, you know.
I do think that they all kind of belong in a time capsule. And even the recent attempts to relaunch Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, same thing 13, though, right? I mean, look, go back slick. And watch the originals and watch, you know, the Jasons and all that. And, you know, it's just not going to be the same, right? It just, it can't be. Like, it would be impossible. Even, but you don't really even have to go back all that far for it to work. I mean, Freddy versus Jason, I think, works.
Why does that movie work so much for being what it is? It's so stupid.
It doesn't exactly right. It doesn't try to be slick or smooth or anything like that. If you look at the special effects, yeah, they're modern and stuff there, but it really doesn't try to do anything different than what's already been done before.
It's fun.
I know that's weird, but it doesn't feel like someone's vision is being thrust on you either. You know.
I think that Freddy vs. Jason movie is better than both of the Alien vs. Predator movies they made.
Yeah.
I think it's more enjoyable.
That'd be a fair enough assumption.
Splitting hairs, I mean, for sure. On a very, very low level, you know. You know why we do podcasts? Because the stakes are so low.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
Let's talk a MoviePass, because MoviePass is starting to fall into something that I'm a little concerned about.
Yeah, they're just going to disappear tomorrow, because that's a real possibility.
Not only that, I didn't have the price of $39.95 that I was paying for MoviePass a year ago pushed my ass to go see a bunch of movies in the theater. Now I sit on it like a gym membership and barely use the fucking thing. You know, it's like – so that's the kind of the idea. But I never – so everyone's in uproar, first of all, that you can't see movies twice now all of a sudden. That was always the fucking idea when I had it.
I think that's fair though, don't you?
100%. That was how it always was. When did they stop doing that? You mean I could have doubled up? Let me tell you how you get around that. Let me tell you how you get around that. You go to the movies late at night and you check into the Pixar movie and you go back and see fucking Avengers or whatever you want to see. You sit in someone's seat. If they move you, they move you. That's how you get around the movie pass situation. I've done it many times. I've seen many times.
Well, and how do you feel about wanting people to send in pictures of the tickets?
That's been going on. That's never happened to you?
No.
That's happened to me at least 3 times in the 3 years that I've owned MoviePass.
Right. It's happened before, but it hasn't happened since the price reduction, right?
What's the idea that a competitor is going to get on there, subscribe, and make them pay?
I am so confused. I don't know what the idea is, because if you just paid for it, I mean, I guess the proof there is that I went to go check in for a movie. I paid for that actual movie. Or because how else would they enforce I can't see a movie twice if they don't necessarily know that I paid for that movie twice?
They're also doing something that the cable companies got really messed up on was the bundling. We're now bundling with iHeartRadio subscriptions. What is this madness?
I don't want my
MoviePass to be $40 a month again, but yet I get free XM radio or some shit I'm never going to use. You know what I'm saying? Like, and now they're going to cap it at 4 tickets a month. Okay. That's still a hell of a value.
It's okay.
That's still a hell of a value. But there are some weeks when I see 4 movies in a week and I pay for that. If I'm paying $40 a month, let me see one a day. Take it back to how we did it. Then what they need to do is raise their prices up again. They'll lose some subscribers. Fine. But let's take it back. Get at least $29.95. Let's get it back to where one calendar movie a day, or one movie every calendar day, rather, which is every 24-hour period. So if you saw a movie at 10 o'clock last night, you got to wait to see a movie at 10 o'clock tonight. And it was working fine. Now they got 2 million subscribers. The shit's going haywire. There was a point where MoviePass was so janky. Let me tell you this. There was a point that MoviePass was so janky about 2 years ago. I had it. This is early 2016. I was going to see a bunch of movies. And on Monday, you couldn't use your MoviePass because they didn't have enough quote-unquote tickets left that they had gotten only X amount from the theaters for that weekend. And if they were used up, they were used up. That's how janky that shit was. And that's back when it was $40 a month. Now people are bitching about, I can't see something more twice. Shut up.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to pay for the Avengers anyways, one way or another, asshole. I'm fired up today. Can you tell?
I don't know. I wish they would figure it out a little bit. I don't know. I don't want it to be $30 a month. That's too expensive.
And But it would get you off your ass to go see a movie, wouldn't
no,
it?
No, it wouldn't, because I would just cancel it and then just go back to the $3 theater, and then I would just be in the same thing where I just wouldn't go.
Regardless, you're not going, sir. You need to use that fucking movie pass.
I will be Trevor's going to see pass. Avengers for sure once there's a fucking seat available for me.
Trevor's movie pass is the most clean card you've ever seen. It has it's no beautiful. Markings on it.
It's so beautiful. I got to keep it, you know.
It's virginal.
Mint. Yeah.
Yeah, their business plan apparently is not sufficient, and I wonder how we're going to get around this. Is the movie pass going to be a thing
well,
in the
everyone's
future?
Calling it, you know, and if you do the math, it's like, damn, yeah, that doesn't seem like it's going to work. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think they do then? They would have to raise the price.
They bundle it. And they hide the price hike behind some sort of shit you don't want.
Like yeah, the bundling now doesn't raise the price though too much, if any at all. Actually,
I read that if you're not careful, it's a 3-month free subscription. If you're a new subscriber, the way I read it was $6.95 with a free 3-month subscription to this iHeartRadio. If you do not cancel right. directly with iHeartRadio, they start charging you $9.95 a month automatically.
Yeah.
Come on.
But that doesn't make the price more. I mean, you have to cancel. So you cancel right away. I don't.
It's going to get to a point where they're going to say, hey, you've seen 5 movies this week. You're good. You're good. Like, you can't see a movie again for a while. You know what I mean? Which I shouldn't if I see 5 movies a week. You just get a job, asshole. Okay. Dwayne Johnson.
The Rock?
Mr. Hollywood himself. The Rock. He's probably one of the most likable actors in Hollywood. You and I have liked his movies. I mean, really, we both think that the Scorpion King's a guilty pleasure when we saw it, right? I think we get the safe to say. But the one that you and I really, I think, found The Rock together was The Rundown.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to go back, yeah, I mean, The Rundown and Walking Tall, which are my favorite Rock movies, really, probably mainly because that is The Rock. Whereas nowadays you don't really get The Rock. You get a caricature of, well, actually you get The Rock, right? Cause remember when he was trying to be Dwayne Johnson and now all of a sudden he literally is just the character again. He's just The Rock.
I know, he's bigger than life again. Yeah. He was trying to be small in like Shrink Down, but now he's become the wrestler again. Even
but he was better. It was better back then. It would like The Rundown's a great flick. And that's the he's The Rock in there. It's like, oh, that's a Rock movie, right? There's nothing else to that movie. It's just him. But now it's like there's always something else. He's kind of replaceable. I don't know.
If The Rundown had come out today with The Rock's star status, that thing would have made $200 million. It would have had Kevin Hart in it.
It
wouldn't have had Sean William Scott. It would have had Chris Pratt or Kevin Hart or someone like that.
Okay.
But it would have made $200 million. It's huge. That movie's huge today.
It would have been a very different movie. It would have been way more of a comedy.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been as hard-edged as it is. It's a pretty violent movie for what it is, for what's going on. It's beautifully done by Peter Berg. I implore everyone to go back and look at the Rundown. Maybe we should go back and look at The Rundown in the future.
I know, right?
Now we're talking about it.
Make you want to watch it now, yeah.
But Dwayne Johnson has moved into producing with the 7 Bucks production company, and he just announced today on all his social media platforms that he is going to produce a film for Universal on the Janssen Directives. The Janssen Directives, is that what it's called? Yeah, I guess that's a fucking awkward name. Yeah. The Janssen Directives. Good God.
Whatever that means.
It sounds like a guy who's faxing things. Yeah. 95. Regardless, this is not about an appellate
court. It's a real nail biter.
Yeah, this is a Robert Ludlum universe type movie, but it's going to star his wrestling foe turned buddy, John Cena.
Cool.
And I think this is a good career movie for awesome. Cena because let's stop acting like he's a comedian. The guy's not inherently funny. Stop playing him
funny
in comedies.
Looking.
I mean, the Marine is the perfect vehicle for John Cena.
Oh, are you kidding me? I fucking love the Marine.
We should
and John
the
Cena
Marine.
In the Marine is awesome. There could be right. no one else. I wouldn't want anybody else.
He is that man in that movie. He is so larger than life and such a buffoon and so just confused. And I love it. I mean, that's just a great, great guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy much like The Rock where you just kind of see him and he just kind of brightens up the screen a little bit, you know. Aside from, I'll agree with you, with the comedy stuff, it doesn't really come off so well. And I kind of get a little sick of The Rock doing the comedy stuff too because it doesn't always work either.
It's not successful all the time, and it feels forced as opposed to.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it feels genuine. A little. It feels very stilted at times.
I would agree. Let's talk on a different subject here about Lethal Weapon, the television show. Are you watching it at all?
No, I'm not. But what are you going to do when they get into such a big fight that they cancel?
I don't know what's going on with this show. I really did not want to give this show any chance. I fell in love with it season one. So far, I'm about halfway through season two, so I guess I'm about 5 or 6 episodes back from where current viewers are. So no spoilers out there. I don't want to hear anything on our feed. But regardless, I think that it's a good show. I like the chemistry. I'm surprised at how much disarray is going on behind the scenes because it's not evident on the show thus far for where I'm at. However, Clayne Crawford, who is star Martin Riggs, is apparently insufferable and nobody wants to work with him and is causing
delays. Go figure.
Delays and,
you mean he's typecast in some weird way?
Yeah,
he actually acts like that?
I know, right? That's why he's so condescending and so abrasive on the show.
Where have we seen that before? Certainly not Mel Gibson, right?
Or even the Kevin Spacey with House Cards or any of these kind of fucking situations. Like, what's the – so the bad boy behavior, I just recently read an article with him that's predated a couple years ago when he got cast in the role. And he was saying that he didn't think he had a shot at it. He was going to live with his family on some ranch they had just bought somewhere and he just wanted to get away. Uh-huh. And he got stuck in this role. He didn't sound too excited to be doing season one. I don't think they thought they had much of a chance. Fox has a history of turning
probably
television
not.
In general. Yeah. They turn over shows very quickly. This became a big hit. I mean, I think it's Fox's second biggest demographic hit with 18 to 39 or 49 year olds behind Empire. So it gets – and it's huge in minority communities. So like it's a huge hit for Fox. They need to show. I read they may recast this next season and have a female Martin Riggs. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that.
Why not just make another character? Why Martin Riggs or related to Riggs?
Well, it'll be
Why
his cousin, yeah.
Oh, it's the cousin.
His cousin Becky.
Dukes of Hazzard days.
Becky Riggs. Oh. She's back in town.
No, it's Marty. It's Marty.
She's back in town. Yeah, Marty. Becky Riggs.
She's been gone.
Watch out. She's crazy.
Or it's the daughter he never knew he had just running around somewhere. Yeah, this is
perfect.
This is not looking good. And I'm surprised because there's – but this is a long history of happening on television shows. These people are stuck together for a long time on a network show. That's a lot of weeks to be stuck filming with somebody. And you look at things like Lost, where everybody hated each other. Criminal Minds had a falling out recently. There's a story after story of people wanting to put up with each other's shit.
Is he too old for the shit in that show, though?
I think Damon Wayans is feeling like that. I wonder if his beef
is
with
Wayans. Do they do that bit at all?
Wayans does, yeah.
Does he?
But not Riggs, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
I was right. Not the younger guy, dude.
Correct, right. Yeah, that's what I was asking. I was just wondering if they even did that or if it was like a big part of the show at all or just a little wink or something.
No, they actually have a lot of interesting things that go on in that show in terms of being an action show for television. I don't watch a lot of Hawaii Five-0 or CSI or that kind of stuff, but to me it reminds me of Fastlane, Miami Vice, but it has the Lethal Weapon storyline and things that are somewhat true to things that were established in the movie. So I do like that. There is a certain continuity that they do keep. It's not a full reboot.
I'm more of a Loaded Weapon type of guy, you know?
Hey, I like that one too. Let's not forget Samuel L. Jackson before he got so distinguished. He was always making shit. Speaking of reboots, remakes, sequels, quasi-sequels, let's talk Jumanji. I saw this a few months ago. You saw it recently. I was really keen on it. I thought it was one of the better movies last
year.
Why
did everyone like this movie so much?
It was clever.
Was it?
You're not. So wait, you don't like it. Let's hear it up front.
It's okay. I would say it was watchable. No, it was actually exactly what I thought it was going to be. It's just a movie. They run around. They do nothing different than what's in the trailer. There's just nothing more to it at all. And it's just your standard. Anyone, literally anyone, could have just come up with this. I don't know. I don't see what's clever about it or even what's really that great about it.
I thought there were some good comedic bits in there. There were some laughs in there. Yeah. Jack Black was good for a couple of laughs in there. No? No. Okay, say no. Kevin Hart playing the diminutive bully. Not. Okay.
No, I just wish
cameo?
Yeah, I know. I just
no tie-in, Jesus.
I just wish it had been a little bit more. There's no movie magic in that in it at all, anywhere, ever, you know. And that's what the first Jumanji had. There's just nothing. It's just your standard run-of-the-mill movie. Could have been made by anyone. Doesn't really need Jumanji at all. Doesn't have anything to do with it because they're sucked into the game right this time. So it's just very different than Jumanji.
I never cared for Jumanji, so I didn't really have a problem with them taking liberties here and doing things different. I thought it was a lot of nods to our generation specifically, and maybe we're going a little overboard with the
By redoing the entire movie. It's not a nod to our generation. It's a nod to the current generation, right? I mean, that movie is not for us. In what way is that movie for us?
With the old gaming system and the fact that it was on a cartridge.
In the cartridge. It has nothing to do with anything, right? It could have been on a CD. Could have been on anything. They could have downloaded the game and played it on their phones. It wouldn't have made a difference. So, I mean, there was literally very little to, if any, nods to our generation in that movie.
Well, that's why I'm saying it was a nod. If they could have played it on their phones, that would have been a nod to the younger generation. If they're playing it on a quasi-Nintendo.
No, it doesn't matter. That was a one-second thing, right? That was in the movie.
It was a nod
so
to us.
It can't be. It can't. How could that matter? If that makes no difference to the movie at all in any way whatsoever, then what? You just hung on to that through the whole movie?
I did. I wept when it was over. I liked the fact that they got down there and they had the three lives, that they were fucking around.
Right,
but just liked the loose nature of that whole movie. It felt very it just felt loose and had like a fun, loose vibe to me that I hadn't seen in a long time. I liked it. I liked it a lot. What's up with Tremors 6? You just saw Tremors 6. Cold as hell, or ice cold day in hell, or some sort of situation.
Yeah, wait, grab a cold beer.
If you didn't know, these Tremors movies have gone on long past that first one that was in the theater. And I want to say that the first couple of like direct to DVD sequels were in the late 90s, if not in the mid 90s. These things have been going on for 20 years on direct to DVD, direct to video.
Yeah, they've been around. They had they were going to do another TV show, but they had a TV show. Back in the 2000s,
and they were going to do that one with Kevin Bacon on sci-fi. They just got canned.
That one didn't take off. Yeah, so yeah, this is an idea that doesn't go away, you know, which is interesting. I don't know. It does happen with these little movies like this. I'm surprised they aren't making more Critters. I don't know what's going on with that. You know, seems like that's prime for someone to come along and make a couple movies.
Right.
Gremlins, you know, I guess they're working on that. But anyways, Tremors, A Cold Day in Hell. Super cheap movie, obviously. You got to wade through a first act that is amateurish, long, boring, nothing happening, to get to this second half of the movie, which is actually really pretty good. It's just your classic Tremors nonsense, you know, people running around, Tremors trying to eat them.
Well, the star of that movie, of that franchise, became Michael Gross, the dad from Family Ties. His character was the runaway kind of hit guy. I don't know why sci-fi's pilot was focusing on the Kevin Bacon character. I guess he's
the last television show was with Michael Gross, right?
Was it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, he really is the face of for obvious reasons, because Kevin Bacon and what's his name, Ward.
Fred Ward, yeah.
Yeah, didn't, you know, obviously weren't going to waste their time with more Tremors movies. But Michael Gross had nothing else to do. So, yeah, he's become the face of this. And now they have Jamie Kennedy in here as his son. And they actually make a good team. I really like the last one quite a bit. And I like that they're both back in this one. And it was a fine little B movie, you know, for what it was. The Graboids, all the Graboid fun stuff was in there. You had your ass blasters were in there. And it was just, you know, ridiculous nonsense. But they really did have a nice little twist in here with the Michael Gross character, the Burt Gummer, who's having these kind of weird flashbacks, like, and weird like brownouts throughout the movie. And they do finally figure out what's wrong with them. Not going to ruin it for anyone if they're going to watch it. But I thought that's interesting. At least there's something going on here other than just, you know, Graboids are eating us.
That's from the Universal Home Video Department. And these home video releases sometimes are subpar, of course, because they're not on the level of the originals, but some of them are damn entertaining. Yeah. And I just had a similar experience with Deep Blue Sea 2, which I found to be a pretty entertaining little B movie. Clearly, it's not a direct sequel to Deep Blue Sea because it's right. 18 years after the fact.
And you're not going to get those guys back. Movie. Yeah.
Right. But it does have an interesting premise. It is well executed for what it is. And comes along, does its job, and goes away. It's absolutely preposterous. At one point, it acts like a shark can see through and listen. It's eavesdropping on a conversation and then using that knowledge communicating
to
the other
really
great white
smart,
sharks.
Right? They're smart in that one too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They have to be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Deep Blue Sea, right?
None of these shark movies will ever top the screaming sharks from Lara Croft 2 with Angelina Jolie. Do you remember that? The screaming sharks?
Yeah, what was it? Do they scream in that? Is that what they do?
Yes, they wailed underwater after they
were
chasing.
They're making noise. I know, it's ridiculous.
I just caught up with Black Panther. I think I'm like the last person to have seen it other than you.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm waiting to be the last.
I mean, maybe we're not the last people because it's still number 5 this week. Rose up from 8 to 5 in the box office chart.
Yeah, well, you talked about 700 million. We're closing in.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. And it's kind of hard to not go into this with a chip on your shoulder because it's like, impress me. Why have you made so much money?
Yeah.
You know, but I got to be honest, I liked it. Did I like it? Did I think it was exceptional? Not particularly, but I did like it a lot.
Better?
It's solid.
Let me do this. Better or worse than Doctor Strange?
Better.
Okay.
Better than Doctor Strange, for sure. It's on the upper echelon of all Marvel movies.
Okay.
Is it the best? It's hard to say. They all start getting jumbled to me. I really liked Thor Ragnarok, even though it's a silly throwaway Marvel movie. It's still one of my favorite ones. Is it? It doesn't have the explosive kind of like surprise of Iron Man, but it is solid in telling a tale where I walked into it thinking, how in the hell are you going to tell me this movie? Like, how are you going to make this character interesting and palatable? And it's from Ryan Coogler, who everyone knows now, but who I've been following for a long time because of Fruitvale Station. He's a Bay Area filmmaker, a Bay Area kid myself. And I'm a big fan of Creed. And he gets Michael B. Jordan is such a magnetic presence. I feel like he stumbled onto this great star. It's almost like De Niro and Scorsese.
Is he in that
together.
Movie?
Yeah, he's Killjoy. He's the bad guy. He's the main bad guy.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
He's fucking fantastic. In fact, the whole time, like, I wish he was Black Panther, but Chadwick Boseman is so good, too, that the whole movie creates such an interesting, charming vibe that by the time it's halfway through and you realize you're just watching the origin movie, and then it plays with the timeline of where it's at. It starts before Civil War, ends after Civil War. It's interesting.
But why must they take everyone who's been in Fantastic Four and rebrand them as different characters?
Well, I understand that. Although Miles Teller's still waiting for his opportunity. It's not going to come.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Although there's room for Jessica Alba, I'm sure. But no, I really was impressed with Black Panther is what I'm saying. But it's hard to say it's excellent. It's hard because when it's gone in there with like this excellent box office. So, you know, it makes me rebel against it a little bit. But at the same time, I can't say anything. There's really nothing technically wrong with it.
I'll find something. When I see
sure
it, I'll find
will.
Something.
And I like that it opened up in Oakland. I mean, it takes kind of place in Oakland. It's a lot of Oakland stuff, and it was cracking me up. Like, Jesus Christ, this is a Marvel movie that begins with Too Short
Do
on
they
the soundtrack.
Fight? Is there stuff destroyed in Oakland?
How about – he's from Wakanda, sir, and they're into building and preserving the neighborhood. So I'm not going to say he doesn't set up shop or help out Oakland. Okay? He's an ambassador for humanity, you asshole.
Oh. I thought I would be like, you know how – They've done to other cities, right?
No, I wish that was the case. Yeah, if it was like Chicago in every movie that gets fucked. Why does Chicago get shit on the most out of every major American city in movies now? Chicago gets fucking destroyed weekly in cinemas.
People don't like Chicago.
It's a beautiful city.
It's the windy city. They don't like it. It's too windy.
They're creating a wind tunnel by doing that shit. Well, that's going to wrap up our podcast. You got anything else you want to throw out there?
No. We can wrap this one up.
All right. Trevor says that's enough. That'll do, Piggy.
I think we're good. We're closing on 40 minutes here. I don't want to
talk to you for longer than that.
Yeah, yeah. My mouth gets tired. People. That's what she said.
We're giving this shit away. Well, that's going to do it here for the podcast on the Movie Maverick situation. Go to moviemavericks.com. We have reviews for the latest. This is a situation we got going on here. It's a movement, okay? Don't discount it. Go to moviemavericks.com.
You've been watching the New Jersey Shore, haven't you?
Of course. You think my girlfriend doesn't watch that shit? First of all, I'll freely admit that I watched it on my own 10 years ago, and now I just roll my eyes and go, these assholes are still doing the same shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you watching the New Jersey Shore?
Hell no, I didn't watch the first one.
I don't buy it. I think next time I see you, you're going to be fucking jacked, tan, with hair sticking straight up. And oversized glasses.
Oh, boy.
All right, that's it. We're giving it away here, okay? We could charge it for this shit. We don't, though, because we love you guys. Thanks for joining us on this podcast. Check us out at moviemavericks.com. Hello to everyone on Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you guys may be hearing this. Please rate the show, review it, send out the word. Let's get this bigger. All right, guys. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh, my. Another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com, Warp 9. Engage.